The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Today, September 4th, 2019, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I am going to be your host tonight, as always here on Wednesdays. And with me, unfortunately, no five-star man Ace of Gray tonight. He is on the road, and we wish him the best of luck and take a safe travel, and we'll see him back next week, of course. With me, though, I do have Allie Hebert.
Hello.
And the Big D Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Now, Allie, you were supposed to stop this.
What was I supposed to stop?
The last time us three did a show and I left, what did I tell you? I said, let's never do that again with me, you, and Dalton.
What? Why?
And you laughed it off.
Wait,
and
I
was serious.
Did he do that?
He did. Because I was like, that was the most miserable hour I've ever spent recording.
What?
I don't
Wait, what?
It probably all the sugar
do
that's
I
gone to your brain.
This? Wow.
Is why you can't remember this.
I didn't know where that was going. I just knew I wasn't supposed to play my part until the joke got there.
It wasn't a joke. Oh, no, I really said that.
Why? Am I bad?
Let's get to the stories.
Okay. PWI Top 500.
Let's start
happened.
By talking about what everyone's talking about. Because this is a lot of fun. This is actually a fun story. Chris Jericho.
Oh, you want to start with that
Let's start with Chris Jericho.
Okay.
So Chris Jericho, of course, the first AEW champion. We'll talk about All Out here in the main event. But Chris Jericho, you want to get some energy in. Celebrating his victory, spoiler alert, for the AEW title. And, of course, what you do when you win a major championship is you go to Longhorn Steakhouse, which I'm really surprised I got that because I keep wanting to say Texas Longhorns just because of King of the Hill. You're yawning a lot. Do you need some caffeine?
Stop it.
Yeah, I haven't had a soda since lunch.
And that was a 94 ounce.
It was not 94 ounce.
It was a child size.
What? How is that a child size?
It's the size of a liquefied child.
So Chris Jericho went to the steakhouse of
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yeah. And he apparently, from the story I heard, is that he had accidentally got someone else's luggage. The limo driver, while he was at Texas Longhouse,
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Gosh, dang it, Shannon. We're also going to stick to no swearing on this episode.
This is how. No swearing on this episode?
No swearing on this episode.
Okay. This is how. This is how an important Texas.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Long steak.
This might be where we use our one.
This is how unimportant Texas.
Longhorn Steakhouse. Wait a minute. Start it again, but just stop talking at that part. Go ahead.
This is how important
Longhorn Steakhouse
is to the world of professional eating, is that you can't even remember how to say their name correctly. I prefer Outback. I'm a Cody Rhodes kind of guy myself.
This is my favorite tweet from all of this. Has just been Joey Janela just being like, I feel like this is only going to get us like an Outback Steakhouse Bloomin' Onion brawl.
And that's fine because Bloomin' Onions are amazing. Better than anything
Longhorn Steakhouse
can do. So while Chris Jericho was eating at
Longhorn Steakhouse,
the limo driver went back to the airport to return this luggage at Jericho's behest. And when he returned and Chris Jericho left, he noticed the title was gone.
Yes.
The title had been stolen by somebody. I would probably say the limo driver. I don't know. I don't have any evidence. But if I were a betting man about who got into this locked limousine that only the limo driver had access to and stole the title, I'd say it was probably the limo driver.
Because it's one of those things like,
I don't want to accuse this man of anything. He's probably a foreigner and will lose his position in America.
Jesus.
I don't want that to happen.
They were in, where were they? They were in Chicago.
Were they not in Texas?
No, they were in Chicago.
Do you think?
Just not all Longhorn Steakhouses are in Texas. Just because you can't say it without saying Texas Roadhouse, which is what you've been going for.
I have.
Or the University of Texas Longhorns, Hook'em Horns.
Could be worse. Could be that dumbass Lambert's Cafe.
I swear we weren't swearing.
Ass is not a swear word.
Is it in the Bible? Allie.
There are lots of donkeys in the Bible.
Fair enough. But I still don't completely understand how it was like stolen. Because like, I've heard reports saying that Jericho got his luggage back and the only thing that was missing was the belt. This, that, and another. It's one of those that like, if you're going to steal the title, why are you just stealing the title?
And not his other stuff?
Because, like, you know, it's Jericho, so there's probably some vodka in there.
Yeah, a couple $500 shirts, $1,000 shirts or whatever.
That jacket that's probably worth a good $5,000.
My thing with it is that I blame Chris Jericho for not taking the title in with him.
That, all right, no.
Because if it was me or if it was you, we would have taken that title everywhere we went.
No.
I guess Chris Jericho has won 974,422 titles. I have not. I've never won a single title.
Have you seen any of the pictures of Huntsberger with the tag title? He's worn it to work.
Oh, I did see that picture.
Yeah, that
good
cracked
on him. But good on Kevin Huntsberger, because that's what I would have done. If I didn't have a guilt attack when Otis won the CCW title, I'd have it here with me right now.
Don't you have custody of it next month?
No, I'm not going to do that. But
you're the worst parent ever.
Yeah, I don't like my children. Boy, what do I call children? They're
no, stop it. So that's anyway. For $1 on the Patreon. You can see what a misunderstanding. You can hear what a misunderstanding is.
So Chris Jericho, he lost the title. Good news. Two good newses. One, they had a backup title. Good on them. Smart.
I mean, that's like every company. Like WWE has two titles
of
everything.
Not every company. Because whenever we lose a title, we have to use a stride belt. So.
Yeah. that was a thing.
So they got the title back.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. The case is still open. Because a lot of people were asking me, oh, is this a work? And I said, it's a work until they file a police report. The moment a police report or lawsuit is filed, work is out the window. Remember Hogan and WCW?
Yeah.
Everyone thought that was a work
until Hogan filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, then it's not a work anymore.
Because they filed the police report, and I think they were going to, because I don't think they thought they were going to get it back.
Right.
So I think they were going to start a, like, worldwide investigation over the AEW title, and then the next day the Tallahassee police found it.
And I am curious about how they found it.
Because it was in Chicago.
Yeah, but I'm like, what was the situation? Did they find it on a street? Did someone put it on? Like, I'm being serious.
It's not like Hector Zeroni got hit with shoes. It's a title belt.
But, I mean, did someone, like, take it to the police and, like, leave it on the doorstep and say, like, little note that said, sorry, didn't know this was so
this
expensive.
This one's on me.
Yeah. I want to know the situation and how they got the belt back.
I mean, I'm sure we'll get all that in due time. But right now, we just know that the belt was stolen. The belt was found. And
the case is still open.
And the case is still open.
I'm going to turn an Allie down. That's probably why you're still so low.
And yes, Allie, when you looked at me like that, I did get a Holes reference in PWU tonight. That is my magnum opus of random drops I got.
What the hell is Holes?
You never read Holes?
Had plenty of Holes. I had a hole last night, but I don't.
A whole pizza?
No, donut holes.
Oh.
But I don't know what.
You've
talking
about
the movie with Shia
LaBeouf?
Yeah,
okay, they made it a movie.
Did I ever tell you my Shia LaBeouf movie story?
No.
We got time. We're not doing anything else.
I like how you said you wanted to be done early, and now we're doing this.
My stories are quick and efficient.
Okay, go
so,
ahead.
So, Vina, the same girl that I talked about in the pre-show.
The pre-show for $1, you can hear about it.
The bikini, yeah.
Yeah.
She and I went to, it was one of the first times we ever went to a theater, and we were going to go see The Matrix,
okay.
But The Matrix was sold out.
Okay.
So we said, we'll see whatever the next person buys, we'll go see that movie. And it was Holes. So that's the only reason I've seen that movie.
That timeline doesn't match up.
It definitely adds up, probably.
It wasn't the first Matrix then.
No, I think it was like two or three.
Okay, that makes more sense, because Holes came out whenever I was in fourth grade.
Yeah. Oh, and I was whining and dining college chicks at that point.
You would have been in college, so yeah.
Well.
Because you would have been like 21.
It was a community college, so. That
because fourth grade,
Allie, as you know,
yeah, you were between 20 and 21.
No,
at that time you were.
No, I was not.
How were you not?
I think I was like 22 or 23.
Well, okay, that's
we're splitting hairs, but somewhere in that range. Anyway, point is, I saw the movie, I didn't like it. Moved on. It wasn't a good movie.
It was a good movie.
But I also watched it at a younger age.
And you also
whenever
had a.
I went whenever
I read
my
the
family
book.
Saw it. There was a storm happening, and the screen went black for like 3 minutes.
Plus, you probably had a big crush on Shia LaBeouf at the time.
Same.
Right?
I don't remember having a big crush on Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. Some of us still do.
Word.
Anyway.
Just do it.
AEW Championship back in Chris Jericho's possession, or maybe
at
not.
At least in AEW's possession. Or it's at least, at the very least, at the Tallahassee Police Station.
And I think the big lesson from this is if you're a celebrity of any kind, if you have your luggage.
DTA.
If you have your luggage, you know, whatever your situation is, even if you're not a celebrity, even if you're just a normal person, the important lesson here is don't eat at Longhorn Steakhouse.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah. Go to Outback.
Do we want to go to a sad
shouts
store?
Out to Arby's.
Oh, yeah.
For their reply.
And then shout out to Chris Jericho for the rebuttal.
Yeah.
Joey Janela has been cracking me up overall.
What was Jericho's rebuttal? I didn't see it.
You can save the cardboard for your sandwiches.
Also, somebody.
It's not really a rebuttal. That's more of just a
advice.
Advice of like.
What was a rebuttal?
No, I think he was saying your food tastes like cardboard.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Chris Jericho just made the list.
Marco got accused.
Longhorn Steakhouse, by the way, also replied.
Uh-oh.
They replied to Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes replied and said, I'm an Outback Steakhouse kind of guy or whatever.
Yeah.
And Longhorn Steakhouse replied and said, you know what? You just made the list. Which, good on them for trying to. Because, one, it's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault.
There are people that are actually blaming Longhorn Steakhouse for this. I'm like, yeah, it's not a good place to eat. No one ever eats there.
That would be like me blaming McDonald's for like a nail popping my tire on the way to McDonald's.
Right. Or if you spilled coffee in your lap. Wait, no.
All right, she was right on that. That's not fair.
She was right on that.
Yes,
yeah, no.
She was.
No, she was right. Jericho wrong. Don't blame Longhorn Steakhouse.
Well,
if anything, blame them on their subpar food. Not on.
Have you ever ate there?
I've never even seen one.
I just love that it was my favorite part of this entire story is that it was a chain steakhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Right.
Where, like.
All the places he could have gone, and you. It, only thing would have been funnier is if he had been at Arby's.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho loses title at Arby's.
He lost it at, like, Domino's in Chicago. Be like, really?
Right. You would take the Domino's in Chicago.
Yeah.
Home of the deep dish. So back in their hands. Good for them. All right. Let's go back up to the top now, because I just wanted to get that story out of the way, because that's my favorite story of the week. I got a good burn on Chris Jericho online. I'm glad he didn't see it, because he probably would have made fun of me.
What'd you say?
Oh, I said that competition AEW moves really fast. Jericho's already lost the title.
Oh, yeah.
I got like 7 likes on that. So for me, that's kind of a celebrity for me. Let's talk about the PWI 500. That came out. Of course, that's Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Which
I almost corrected you.
Well, I had.
And then, like, it was the PWU top 500. But then I realized that that's us.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time or the, like.
I don't remember who it
my
was.
My number one's on here.
It may have been Jason. It may have been Jason. We were talking the other day. He was in the store. And he said Pro Wrestling Scripted 500. And I was like, oh. Or PWU 500. I was like, yeah, easy. We couldn't count that high.
I've been. Yeah, it's fair. We've been doing the show together for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
3-4 years. So like if I hear PWI, my brain automatically changes it to you. Also because you and I are right next to each other on a keyboard. So I just assume that Asa made a typo.
Yeah.
And he didn't. But no, it was the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 500. It comes out around this time every year. It's
because we had an argument. One of the first arguments
we
ever
had. We have this argument every year.
Well, this I don't think you were involved with this argument.
Okay.
I don't think. This was when it was still Hunter Hendricks, myself, and it was either Asa or it was Price. We were arguing about Nikki Bella's placement on, I believe it was the PWI.
Yeah, that was you. I believe that was you, Asa, and
yeah,
Hunter.
Because my argument was it doesn't matter how good or bad you think she is. This is PWI 500 is purely kayfabe. It's mostly kayfabe.
Yeah, it also like very much stresses on how much that person actually works.
Right. So this year, do you have the top 10?
Yeah, I got the top 10.
We got the top 10 for you. This is the top 10 from PWI 500.
I'm going to go from 10 to 1.
All right. Important to note, Brandon S.P. Espinoza not on the PWI 500 this year because he did not pay enough people off. So
is that how it works?
That's the joke he made.
Oh.
So my hope is that someone messages S.P. and says, did you hear fucking... Oh, nope, I messed
Jesus
that up.
Christ, sir.
Do you hear...
I'm going the whole show without swearing.
I was spiriting S.P. You've heard him call matches.
God, that's so accurate.
Someone messages Espy and says, "Do you hear what Shannon was saying about you?" And he messages me pissed off, and I'm like, "That's what you said. That's the joke you made.
You made that joke."
Anyway, what's the top 10?
Starting from 10, Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kenny Omega, Roman Reigns, Johnny Gargano, Kazuchika Okada, Kofi Kingston, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, number one, Seth Rollins.
The one that surprises, what's the one that surprises you the most on there?
Ospreay being number 10.
Ospreay is surprising. I also think Daniel Bryan being ranked so high is surprising compared to everybody else.
He was WWE champion from the beginning of 2019, and he really hasn't lost any, like even going into a tag team after having the world title, hasn't really lost any steam. He's still doing amazing promo after amazing promo, and he's still wrestling Daniel Bryan style post Daniel Bryan injury.
And I agree with you. He's done great, but like there are some names missing from that list, like Brock Lesnar. And yeah, I get Brock Lesnar only wrestled 4 matches last year, but at the same time, he's still Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and in fairness, like, and this is strictly like on a kayfabe thing, and just watching because like I've watched more than a handful of matches of each of these people over the course of 2019, old end of 2018 to 2019. Like, I don't really remember any of Brock's matches. I'm not saying they weren't good. I know that Rollins kicked him in the ding ding at Mania 35, and then they had a pretty good match at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But besides that, I think that's all he's done.
But he's still Brock Lesnar.
But he's Brock. You're right. But like, there's other people that you can make the argument. Like, Will Ospreay being number 10. Like, he had an amazing match with Shingo at Best of the Super Juniors. Mm-hmm. Either that or it was Dominion, one of the two. But like, Ospreay's also had a killer year. But like, Shingo not being on there in the top 10 is just like, that's a thing.
I really feel like I
also
need
Cody not being on the top 10 is a little.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I really wish we knew the criteria for this. Like, I've heard in ESPYs jokes about you actually have to, like, submit yourself. Like, there's all these things you have to do. Mm-hmm. And if that's true.
I think at a certain point you have to submit yourself. Like, Kenny Omega doesn't have to submit himself.
Well, I was going to say, Brock Lesnar shouldn't have to submit himself.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked that Brock Lesnar wasn't in over a Will Ospreay. And I'm not saying Will Ospreay's clearly a better wrestler. But, like,
I wouldn't even say that. No, that's not fair. Like, I am not a personal fan of current day Brock Lesnar just because I miss 2003 Brock Lesnar.
I mean, Brock Lesnar.
Well, okay, I didn't do the extra R. But, like, he still does it a great job. And the one thing, like, that you – that if anybody ever argues with me about Brock Lesnar, I'll just punch him, is that man sells his ass off for everybody.
He does.
Like, he makes everybody look like $1,000 until the finish happens because then it's 1F5. But, like, up until that point, he is really good at making everybody look like a believable threat. Like, he's done it for everybody. He did it for Balor. He did it for Strowman. Did it for Rollins and – not Ambrose, but like, you get what I'm saying. Like, I think he's very talented, but with what I like to watch, I like Ospreay more.
It's also important to note, congratulations to Seth Rollins, because he is one of a handful of superstars that has been at the top of the PWI 500 twice.
Who do you think? Do you think that he should be number one this year?
Seth?
Yeah.
No. I think Kofi should have been.
There it is. I was about to ask if you thought it should have been Kofi. Yeah. I would have put Kofi as number one this year. There's a really good argument to make be made for Gargano.
Gargano was really – I was surprised Gargano was on there, actually, because he absolutely deserves it. But
he has had a killer year. I think the one thing that kind of screwed him was he was heel, and then Ciampa got hurt.
Yeah, and then they heel.
And then they, like, switched it really quick.
Right.
Which, don't get me wrong, they switched it perfectly, like, where he turned heel to screw over Ciampa.
Right.
But he has had a phenomenal year as well.
No one, this list will
but
never
like
make
Adam
anyone
Cole,
happy.
Adam Cole's not on the top 10 list. There's one that if you were to be like Ospreay, I'd be like, Adam Cole should be on the top 10 list.
Zack Ryder should is definitely 100. Be top 1,000.
He's number 100.
If you look at the list going back, so this is the since 91, this is the top one every year. I want to name
you're
these
gonna
off
give me one. You're going to give me the ones. Okay.
Yeah, so these are the number ones for the past 20-plus years. Since
they're all probably held the WWE title at one point in the year.
Not everybody.
But most of them.
So starting in 91, we had Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Then Sting.
All right.
Bret Hart.
All right.
Diesel. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Dean Malenko.
What?
Yeah, Dean Malenko in 1997.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
And that's what I was getting at. Like, that to me is the – every one of these answers is a safe answer. Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, going down the list, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, Chris Benoit, Brock Lesnar, Batista, John Cena, Randy Orton. It's mostly WWE guys, and they're mostly big names, right? And then you have Dean Malenko is like a sore thumb sticking out where it's like, oh, well, they clearly award this based on popularity, relevance to the company, stuff like that. And then you see Dean Malenko in 97. And I'm not saying Dean Malenko in 97 wasn't important. He was one of my absolute favorites.
But you had Hollywood Hogan.
You had Hogan. You had the NWO. You had so many people.
You had Sting. You had
– because, I mean, look at the people – listen to the people in this year. Mitsuharu Misawa was second. And again –
in 97, I was like, Misawa's been dead for like 9 years.
Jushin Thunder Liger was on that list. Shinya Hashimoto was on that list. So if you look at all the other lists, they're all big names. And then it's just 97. It's like 97 had a completely different writer or something. And then you get to, I believe, the past couple of years with New Japan Pro Wrestling becoming so much more
prevalent
in the United States.
Because Okada got it a year, didn't he?
Okada got it in 2017, but he's been on it before. Nakamura was on it in 2015.
Which would have been
it kind of goes back and forth. But I don't know what the criteria is for how they decide this thing.
Yeah, because it's one of those like, oh, they're just going for the top guy, and then you hear Dean Malenko, and you're like, well, then they're just going for the best wrestler.
Yeah, because, I mean, like last year, they have a women's 100, too. They only get 100 instead of 500.
It's not fair, but it's a lot harder to have like that many mainstream women.
And I believe
right
this
now.
Is where we had the argument because 2015, who was number one? Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella.
Allie, who do you think number one was last year?
Last year?
Last year.
What?
Who would you say was the number one women's wrestler according to PWI?
My like gut reaction was Bliss.
No, Bliss was second.
Was it Rousey?
It was Rousey.
Oh, that's right, because we had that conversation.
Yeah.
Who's is it? Back? It has is to be Becky this year, right? Right. I haven't checked the top 100 women, but I'm assuming it'd have to be Becky. If it's not
this
Becky,
year's not out yet.
Okay, but I say because if Becky should be number one for the men's this year, that's how good of a year she's.
It'll had. Probably yeah. it'll probably be Ronda Rousey again because she did the Warcraft commercial.
Yeah, she had the one. She had the one. The Warcraft commercial. Fair enough.
But still,
she was just picking a flower in that too. That was weird.
I think I didn't hear it with audio, but I'm pretty sure she was going Alliance Horde. Alliance.
Wow.
Horde.
Way to just crap on half of the, like.
No, that's what she was doing. She would say Alliance, some smile, and then go Horde, like, angrily. So I think she's Alliance, which good on her. That's one good thing she's done, other than quitting.
Oh, you pleb. I'm assuming that's what Jesse would say in this.
Yeah, well, Jesse's a big idiot, so.
There you go. Thank you for censoring it.
Ooh. Okay.
No, another Overwatch news.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I'm on that show. I can say it.
In other Borderlands news.
But, yeah, good for Seth Rollins. Like, I mean. It's a very debated topic of just like a top 500 in something like wrestling. Where
yeah,
it's like,
it'll never please everybody.
Yeah, because like I love Seth Rollins, but if you check my Facebook, a lot of people on my Facebook do not like Seth Rollins.
I like Seth Rollins. He's not my favorite, but I do like him, and I think he absolutely deserves to be on the list. I don't know if I'd have picked number one though.
Kofi
deserves number one.
Yeah,
and it's a shame.
And not even because like Kofi deserves number one. Like no, Kofi had the best year out of anybody.
Yeah, because Seth winning the title was just another Seth winning the title. He had a great year, and he's a fantastic performer. But you know who's just as good of a performer?
Kofi
Kingston.
And like more people cared about that match than they cared about like that should have been the main event of Mania. Well, except for the women's match.
Well, okay, to be fair, the PWI 500 is for last year, right?
I think it is from PWI, or 500 to 500, so it would have been from
so it would
September
have,
to September.
Okay, so it would have taken his Mania win in.
Yeah, it would definitely have taken his Mania win in.
Very sad. I'm really sad for Kofi in this case. But anyway, we got to move on, talk about some more stuff. Speaking of Dean Malenko, the man of 1,000 holds, this is very sad. This is what you were going with. Dean Malenko reveals he has Parkinson's syndrome, which if you don't know, Parkinson's syndrome is what people like Michael J. Fox have.
Didn't Muhammad Ali have it?
Muhammad Ali also had Parkinson's, yes. It can be debilitating. I remember seeing interviews with Michael J. Fox as of a couple years ago where he looked well, but at the same time, the shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Muhammad Ali was the same way. So, I don't want to say thoughts and prayers for Dean Malenko because I don't believe in thoughts and prayers, but
like good vibes.
But
like,
good vibes, good wishes. Oh, that's not
well wishes. Like it's one of those things. Like it's a bummer. Malenko is somebody that
take
like
that back.
Me. Like I have always looked up to Dean Malenko.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
If I could wrestle that style, I would. But
you can. You just have to work really hard and have a natural ability,
and then also like stop eating donuts and like get in shape.
Well, to be
shape.
Fair, Dean Malenko was never in like insane shape. He was always in
he was
good
a wrestler.
Shape. Yeah, he
Dean
was a
Malenko
wrestler.
Was like,
yeah,
like a
he was built like a wrestler.
I have always been very sports entertained by Dean Malenko because of how good of a wrestler he is.
Yeah,
I
loved his series with all of his matches he had in WCW. That's when I saw him the most. Obviously,
well, yeah,
hated his WWF run because they saddled him. They didn't know how to use him. They couldn't just present him as Dean Malenko killer. They did the same thing with Lance Storm. They didn't know how to present Lance Storm.
Yeah, and they like kind of bungled him a little bit.
Yeah.
But then they used him as an agent and like a backstage guy, which that's where a Dean Malenko can really shine. Same thing with Arn Anderson. Conrad and Eric on 83 Weeks did an entire episode about Arn Anderson.
I heard about that. I haven't heard it
and,
yet.
And like you forget that, yeah, their in-ring career wasn't like neither one of them were world champions. But, man, you really can't beat them. Like
Arn Anderson's a personal hero of mine.
Yeah. You didn't see All Out.
I heard he got into it with Tully Blanchard, right?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Because if you don't know, whenever I tell you, you're gonna smile really big.
It'll be fake.
That's fine.
It'll just be for the show, for the people that were watching.
But yeah, no, it's a bummer. I love Dean Malenko. I bought his Elite on three different occasions. Just because every time I came across it, I was like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, it was same gear every time.
And Dean Malenko, he's only 95. He looks good for 95.
He looks really good for 95.
He's only 59. He just quit WWE earlier this year, didn't he?
A couple months ago, yeah.
As an agent. And I wonder if this maybe had any part to do with it.
Probably. And it's one of those, because like, he might have been at StarCast, but I'm not 100% sure. But like, he seemed pretty loyal to WWE. Like, if you told me he's going to start working for AEW, it wouldn't shock me a whole lot. because that WCW background, like a lot of those guys are helping out AEW.
I think it also depends on how it went when he left WWE. You know, like how they treated him. And
yeah, like if it was a graceful exit, which I'm right. sure with Dean Malenko is, he's always been professional about everything.
Very classy. He had the classiest intro. He had a James Bond ripoff once for his Titantron that...
And then it ended up going to Cesaro after that?
Pretty much, yeah. And their whole gimmick with him was that he was like a ladies' man. And didn't he also have the giant penis? Or was that a different guy?
That was Val Venus.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there was a. I specifically remember Big Show being in the bathroom, going to the bathroom, and he looks over and he sees, and I can swear it was Dean Malenko, and he's just like, "Damn!" You know, that's how Big Show sounded.
Just so she can see.
I'm gonna look up Dean Malenko big penis.
Oh, don't God. Do that.
I'm gonna do it.
Oh, he just had a birthday too, last month, August 4th, a month ago. But yeah, it's a bummer. Like, are you still looking this up?
Yeah.
Was it him?
Dean Malenko delivering the hose. No, apparently, maybe it was Lance Storm.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, so whenever they have boring wrestlers, quote unquote, their idea to fix them is to, you know, make them more exciting. I mean, Lance Storm's got a big penis. Malenko's a secret agent.
I want to say Malenko's was more injury-based on why he quit wrestling, whereas like Lance Storm, the amazing time that Lance Storm was wrestling, and then Stone Cold came out with a pillow and started chanting boring at him and taking a nap.
The worst burial I've ever seen in my life. Say what you will about
The Rock.
Bar none
to Billy Gunn.
Yeah, The Rock burying Billy Gunn of Stone Cold coming out with a pillow, laying it down, and falling asleep during Lance Storm's promo is by far...
No, during his match.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Vince.
Who backstage was just like, this will get that kid over?
Vince.
I hate professional wrestling.
But
we're canceling this show, and we're starting a new show called Press Start to Zilla. So they're friends from the north.
Please tell us that's what our crossover is going to be whenever we do those.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's going to be Press Start to Zilla.
We're also going to somehow work that into our guild name.
Yeah, and Warcraft will be the Press Start to Zilla guild.
So you should get Warcraft.
And easy. We have a very, very tight vetting process.
What's the vetting process?
You have to not be Dalton.
Well, balls.
Hey, Killer Cross.
I don't like this story.
Killer Cross, we've talked about it before, about how he and Scarlett Bordeaux tried to put their notice releases. In from Impact, and Scarlett Bordeaux did,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, side note, she apparently did have a tryout in WWE as of this week. I don't know if it was today exactly or recently. She had a tryout.
And it's one of those, with those tryouts, you never know what's going to happen. Like, I think Shane Strickland had one or two, and then he finally got picked up.
Chelsea Green's the same way. I remember us talking about a tryout she had, what, a year before she finally got signed?
Yeah.
But if there's ever been anybody that fits the prototype of what Vince McMahon loves in a female wrestler, is it not Scarlett Bordeaux?
And somebody that can actually work too, Scarlett Bordeaux.
She can wrestle. Yeah. She's gorgeous. She's got an amazing body. She flaunts it. She's willing to get half naked.
She is still, that is my favorite moment in a promo of last year or the year before, where it was Alyssa Tout and she was interviewing Bordeaux and she was just like, I will not be hot shamed.
Yeah.
And Tout was like, what's hot shamed? And she was like, oh, that's cute. Just, it's.
Well, she's.
I understand why some people. Go ahead.
She's a smoke show.
I understand why some people don't like that gimmick. But it's the same thing with Lacey Evans, that as long as that's the only one for the most part, like you can have like one or two of them be like their gimmick is just that they're really hot. But if they can also work in the ring, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Because yeah, we're not talking about the mid to late 90s where it was just
or
hot
the
women
mid,
that couldn't wrestle.
Mid to late 2000s.
I don't know. Once Stephanie got that women's revolution
starting.
Yeah.
Put a pin in it. We'll get back to that later.
Yeah.
But
good for
Scarlett Bordeaux.
Good for her. I hope she signs. I really do, because I like her and I would like to see what they can do with her in WWE.
Yeah.
Briefly. Until I hate what they do with her in WWE.
Totally.
But
fair.
Imagine her and Mandy Rose as a tag team.
That Sonya would be pissed.
Well, Sonya betrayed me because I want her to be in love with Mandy Rose and she has a girlfriend that's not Mandy Rose and I'm very upset about that.
Okay.
Because they're so cute together. Why can't it be Mandy Rose?
I hate Twitter, Shannon, so much. So anyway, we get back to the Killer Cross story.
Am I wrong for celebrating a gay relationship that I
you're
want to happen?
You're not celebrating that gay relationship.
No, that's not what this is.
I mean, I would celebrate it.
Okay,
but you're fantasizing about it.
I'm not fantasizing. This isn't for me. It's for Mandy Rose.
Are you sure?
And Sonya Deville.
That you really want to happen?
Well, it's not for me.
Do you want to talk about Killer Cross now?
Let's talk about Killer Cross.
There you go. I got him out of it. It's fine.
Killer Cross, as the story goes, the legend has it, is they're unhappy with him.
Yeah,
they're unhappy with him because the newest thing is that apparently he did not want to.
It was speculated, and then it kind of came to light that it was that
he
didn't want to blade at Slammiversary. He was in a First Blood match with Eddie Edwards,
right?
And I think the way the story read out in one of the articles, like Asa said, "Hey, you might want to read up on this to like just be ready for it since he wasn't going to be here."
I read about it earlier. I will be honest; I don't remember a lot of it.
But Eddie was supposed to win, or Eddie was winning, but Killer Kross didn't want to blade, which in a First Blood match is kind of a thing that needs to happen.
But there is a reason he didn't want to blade.
Yeah, because that's fair. Like, I'm going through both sides.
Okay.
So Impact kind of had a shuffle to get fake blood before the show, and they only, like, apparently, allegedly only had a couple hours to do so. So, like, I'd understand on a company's aspect of, like, being worried about that. Now, this is where I go to Killer Kross's side. Killer Kross didn't want to blade because there was not sufficient medical standby for him.
And there was apparently, I don't know if it was hepatitis, there was some kind of outbreak in, wherever they were, there was some kind of blood thing, and a lot of people weren't feeling comfortable blading. They didn't want to bleed.
Yeah, which is totally fair. Like,
that is a concern that a lot of wrestlers have, is catching something.
Yeah, and that's a thing. Like, I've been busted open in a match before, and that was, in fairness, at the time wasn't my one thought, but like, as I was sitting in the ER, I was like, man, that, I was at a county fair, and the only person that touched me is also tested by Missouri, so like, I know we're good. But like, yeah, no, that's a thing that happens. Like, and a lot of states, or some states still test. Like, Missouri still tests. I think Louisiana still tests. Like, some states still test. New York might? I don't know. But I understand Killer Kross not wanting to blade in that situation. If there's not proper medical people there for it, and you're at an actual show. Now, if you're doing this at, like, your local indie fed.
An Outlaw Mud show.
All right, Cornette. If you're doing that at, like, a local indie show, and you say, well, there's not proper medical here, that's like every show unless you're at a county fair.
Yeah.
It's hard to say which side you lean with more. I'm leaning towards more Killer Kross, because if that's true and they didn't have the proper medical, especially if like that was a pretty consistent thing they had there.
Yeah.
Because Impact goes pretty hardcore.
They can.
More often than not, because they have the Monsters Ball match. They did the
Blood and Guts.
Ish, yeah. Like, those old school Monster Balls match, or Monster Ball matches, they screw you. They, like, the LAX versus OGs match that went just completely ball crazy.
Could you please get balls off your brain?
Shut up. But it's a bummer. Apparently, that was a big reason that, like, Impact is just kind of making him hold out his contract.
Yeah, he's in limbo. He said he's in a ridiculous limbo right now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his girlfriend, wife, what is she?
Girlfriend, I think.
Girlfriend. His girlfriend's getting tryouts with WWE.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Killer Kross is stuck. But Killer Kross has also been accused of feeling he's worth more than he really is. He's also accused other people of not paying him what he deserves. Yeah. And I can see both sides.
Apparently, like, Impact is blocking him from the AAA event in New York in a couple weeks. Because the way that deal works is that Impact lets AAA use their like promoter's license, so they kind of like, that's why they're able to use people from Impact. But if TNA is upset, they can literally block, like, so since Slammiversary he's not been on TV,
right?
So like, a lot of this is coming up blue for everybody, where it's like, Killer Kross didn't do business the way Impact thought he was going to, and Impact didn't have proper medical they should have had for a low, like, if you're a major company, there should be medical people there at all times.
It's like, it's a series of unfortunate events.
Because like, WWE has a doctor ringside all the time.
That's true, but the doctor also needs to do something.
No.
Unlike, I wasn't making a joke. I was thinking in the case of like Silver King, where King was hurt and the doctor didn't get in there for how long.
That's different.
You know what I mean?
Well,
like, even with medical people there, they need to do their jobs.
See, and that's not even really fair, because
I don't see how that's not fair.
Like, at a certain point, I wouldn't, like, if I was a doctor, I wouldn't know when to get in the ring.
Well, that's true. I think I should mention, and you're right on that.
Because like, it's not
most. A lot of the blame goes on the ref.
Yeah,
because the ref did not signal for the doctor, even though Silver King was clearly in distress. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right on that.
Because like, it's apologize. Not the, like, the doctors just don't jump in willy-nilly. Like, they're very much usually a last effort resort. It's usually the ref.
Mm.
That's why, like, I am super grateful for most of the refs I've ever been in the ring with. Lane.
Most?
Brandon reffed one time.
Okay.
And that was the one where I got my mouth really janked up.
I don't think I could ever recall a bad ref that I've dealt with, you know? Well.
But anyway, like.
I've been to a couple Outlaw Mud shows.
Oh, my God. Shut up. But, like, Lane's amazing. Like, because Lane was in there whenever my accident happened a couple weeks back, and he was super, like, checked on me, made sure I was good.
Yeah, there's a lot of refs that I really like. I like Billy in CCW. Mm-hmm. I like Jerry. Jerry's really good.
Jerry's awesome.
Loved Kelly, obviously.
Kelly's amazing. And that was my number one bummer about him moving.
Which is not being able to see him anymore.
Not being able to see him while I ref one of my matches.
But Lane was, I think, the best ref I've ever dealt with. He's incredibly respectful, incredibly funny, really good at like, messing with people. Like, when you're on the outside or even in the crowd, we used to just go to the shows and
he's the best.
And Lane was on top of everything.
But, like, just being, like, Lane has reffed a good portion of my matches.
Yeah.
And he's really good.
I miss him in CCW more. I wish he was there.
Yeah,
more.
I want him to get healthier. Not just because I want him to ref more, just because I love him.
Yeah, I just want to see him again. I want him to get back up to that buff-ass Lane weight.
Yeah.
I'll be happy whenever he gets that. Yeah. Well, he's still dreamy. He's just thinner dreamy now.
Yeah.
Speaking of buff-ass.
Oh, no.
Allie.
What's
the next story?
Alethea.
Yeah?
Alethea King.
Oh, okay.
Catherine.
Not her name.
Is her name.
Catherine is my middle name.
Oh, fair enough.
Or Cat. Allie Cat.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Who is going to be a playable character in Gears of War 5 starting in September?
Batista.
She didn't even know, but she knew.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Or the little teaser for it?
I've seen two. I think there's one that's more family-friendly than the other.
The not family-friendly one's amazing.
Yeah, I've only seen the family-friendly one that Gears put out. I didn't see the one Batista put out.
He's in. So, Allie, did you see the...
No, I did not. I know this because it was in the notes.
All right, cool.
Oh, you that's brat. Right.
I mean, no, that's not fair. No, Asa sent him to us because he's a sweet person. Because if not, we just wouldn't have done a show tonight. So this is his
I don't know, Allie. Yeah, no, we wouldn't have done a show. Otherwise, we'd just been like, so what do you guys think of Chris Nowinski?
And be like, he's a great human.
He's pretty good. Remember when he had that storyline where his goal was to break Molly Holly's hymen?
I was too young to realize that's what it was about.
And there was literally... okay, you had to be super young because there was literally a part where Chris Nowinski said on camera, I'm going to break her hymen.
Dude, I would have been like between the ages of 8 and 10.
Oh, I was knee deep in it at 10.
Mother, if I was between 9 or 10, you were 19 or 20.
They called me a trophy when I was 10.
He was talking about whenever he was 10.
When I was 10.
When he was 10, what he understood as a 10-year-old.
Oh, you're from the hood.
I'm from the hood.
FUBU.
I wore FUBU. FUBU or Jinko.
All right, what were we talking about? Okay, so Batista is just in the Gears like outfit, which with him just works.
It is, because he looks like Marcus Fenix.
So he turns around, looks at the camera, says, about in time, and then puts on the heel Batista glasses. Yeah.
You see, the one I saw was the exact same, but he said about damn time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was bleeped on the IGN one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's exciting. Hunter
that is really, really cool.
I haven't really been into a Gears game in a while.
I am actually really excited about this. I even bought the Gears of War 5 controller. The special edition Xbox One controller.
Like?
It's really nice. It's gray. I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah,
it's got blue
afterwards.
On it. It's really cool. I'm excited for it, and this is something I didn't think was going to happen. Playing as Dave Bautista in a Gears of War game.
He's also getting a new Elite with like the
Is
most
it the Gears gear?
I could make that happen.
Because that would be really, really cool.
No, it's the WrestleMania 35 gear.
That's the most recent one, right?
Yeah. Okay. They're doing a basic and an elite for it, so I will be buying that elite because I love Batista.
I will be downloading Batista in
Gears
of War
5.
He'll be the only person I play as. And you better believe, if you're playing against me online and I kill you, I'm going to have I Walk Alone on standby. And every time I kill somebody, you're going to hear, durner, durner.
I really hope. I don't know if they're doing like
I Walk Alone.
Emotes. They're not. Is that what emotes?
Yeah, emotes.
I really hope one of the emotes is the
Batista dance.
The Batista stance, yeah. Speaking of video games,
they better be doing good by him. Speaking of video games, WWE 2K20, we got new showcase details today. Dalton, hit us with it. Allie, actually, you tell us because you read the notes.
Do you know what it is?
I read the notes.
She didn't research
it. I didn't dig deep into the video game thing because this is Dalton's thing.
Oh, so you're just being nice to Dalton.
Yes.
Okay. She's a sweetheart. What can you say?
All right. Dalton, what do we got?
We have, it's what they said it was. It's going to be the women's revolution. So you're going to have basically the four horsewomen. That's who it's revolved around. It's going to be them from NXT to current day. So it's going to be like, I forgot exactly which like opening match it's going to be.
The opening one was Natty versus Charlotte, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Because
from when they introduced the title, I believe.
No, because it wasn't Natty versus Charlotte. It was Emma versus Paige, I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure? Because wasn't it Flair, Rick was in Natty's corner?
Well, that's the first one. That's going to be the first match they're doing, but the NXT title was already shown off.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because the first one was Paige was the first women's title.
Okay.
But it's going to
be... I believe you.
Yeah, because it's going to be... But Natty, yeah, you're right. It's Natty and Charlotte because it's going to be Bret Hart in her corner, which is really funny because Jim Neidhart was still alive at the time. And... Charlotte had Rick in the corner. And this was at a takeover, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they did takeovers back then.
Yeah, they did. The first takeover was the women's title.
Again, I don't know enough about it to say he's wrong, but I feel like it was just an NXT show. I'm going to look it up real quick,
though. The NXT title was definitely the women's title was definitely a thing.
I feel like you're right, because I'm pretty sure I saw a takeover next to the match listing.
Yeah, no, it was. I'm pretty sure it was a takeover. But it's going to start with that one, and it's going to end with WrestleMania 35, which was the first ever women's main event in Mania. So, yeah. And it's mainly going to revolve around your four main people, Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky. So this is really exciting. I really liked last year's, even though it felt a little weird just because it was Daniel Bryan and they did his WrestleMania 35 match or WrestleMania 34 match. But whenever you only revolve it around one person, you don't really get a whole lot. And then you end up getting like one guy has 10 outfits or one guy has like 10 character slots.
Yeah.
Which is what happened last year with Daniel Bryan, which was cool. Like you got Ring of Honor Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. This is going to be cool just because we're going to have so many versions of like Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, Bayley. I always miss one of them. But I'm excited for it. I really want a roster reveal. We've also gotten two entrances videos since that we talked about it last.
I haven't watched those yet. Also, you'll be proud to know that
it was a takeover.
It was the first takeover.
No, it wasn't.
I'm looking at it now. You can't deny me at this point.
Did they not call the first takeover, was the first special event not a takeover?
It just says NXT TakeOver 2014.
Oh, the first takeover was 2013, I'm pretty sure. No, it was 14, but it was...
So I looked.
The first one was Neville versus Bo in a ladder match.
That's the same... No,
it's not, because they didn't have names yet.
Okay, so I looked up NXT TakeOver.
Okay.
And
what was the date?
May 29th, 2014. That was the first one. That's what's on Wikipedia. That's the first one listed.
Yeah, that wasn't the right takeover then. Because the first takeover was right before Mania.
I'm going by Wikipedia.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't May 29th be before WrestleMania?
Isn't it at the beginning of May? Mania at the beginning.
Mania's in April.
What was the main event of that one?
May is still after April, Allie. Why don't you correct me on that one?
Give me the main event for that.
Adrian Neville versus Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the first takeover.
They don't even have Neville versus Bo Dallas at all on here. So
maybe
might
not have been called a takeover.
I think we're splitting hairs here.
We are.
Let's get back to the point,
though. We're just both trying to prove that we're smart. Sorry, Allie.
Well, she is smart. She doesn't have to prove it. See, no, you know when you're smart when you don't have to prove it.
Fair enough. But no, I'm just...
We're arguing about wrestlers while she's sitting over there daydreaming about that next sweet, sweet Sugar Rush.
The two entrances they've shown off were Buddy Murphy.
Which, by the way, he doesn't look great.
He looks fine.
His character model's okay.
And then Samoa Joe.
Haven't seen that one. I want to see that
one. My favorite thing about the Buddy Murphy one was weighing it at 230 pounds. I heard that, and I was like, what? S-hooks?
Does Samoa Joe have the beard?
No. Yeah. He also has the
hair tied.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Not hair tied, but like it's the long hair up top and the shaved sides.
Okay.
Which they're also doing a new Elite like that, and I'm like, cool, I get a better Samoa Joe.
You guys smell weed?
Yeah, I have been since live.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not the only one that smells weed.
Oh, right. I started smelling it during the hype chain last night. I did a really good job.
It just hasn't stopped. It's just been weed on call.
They are not hyped. It's the Mellow Train upstairs.
Oh, choo-choo. Bluechew.com.
I want that sponsorship.
I know you do, buddy.
Just so we can do commercials.
So that's your big 2K20 showcase news.
Yeah.
When more stuff comes out, obviously, we'll let you know.
I'm super excited the Fiend's in it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm excited what they're doing with that whole fantasy thing. It could be either really cool or really bad. I mean, as I call myself a wrestling purist because I like when wrestling's presented really seriously.
But The Fiend's an actual thing.
Yeah, but it's the other ones.
Oh, yeah, it's fair.
You know, like Braun Strowman as a Frankenstein's monster and stuff like that. But it'll be fun. But it's like when they put Big Head Mode in last year and everybody's like, oh, Big Head Mode. I was like, that's cool. I will never touch that.
I never touched it.
I did it one time for the lulls, and that was it. There weren't many lulls to be had. It's just the same thing, but they have big heads.
I buy the collector's edition, so I end up getting a lot of cool stuff.
Allie, does that offend you?
What?
The big head mode?
No.
What if they had a mode with the women wrestlers where it was
big head mode?
Big boob mode. And their breasts were large.
That's called
Dana Brooke?
No. Fair. Which one is it? Dead or Alive?
No. I play Dead or Alive. No.
Yes.
At least go Rumble Roses, because that's more specific to wrestling.
All right, we're splitting hairs again.
NWA, congratulations. The National Wrestling Alliance sold out their first two TV tapings.
Good for them, which is like, I'm not even being like facetious on that. Like, good for them.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for them.
This is another place that is going to be hopefully mainstream and hopefully does like really well. It would be really cool to have an NWA revival. Just because like they've been around forever.
It would be cool if they started stealing some of our talent. Like, I know a couple guys named Dalton and Allie and Asa and Shannon.
Oh,
they could steal
yeah.
from CCW.
I would wrestle for anybody, honestly.
I would do ring announcing. I would go back to ring announcer.
For NWA.
For NWA, I'd do it.
You've already held the belt.
I have held. How many people here at the table can say they held the NWA championship?
While
no context.
While Nick Aldis was beating Austin Lane.
You just say the words. Congratulations to them, and I'm excited to see their show.
Yeah, good luck, Billy Corgan.
From Smashing Pumpkins.
No, from the NWA owner.
I was never a big Smashing Pumpkins fan. They had like three songs I liked.
2 hours. I don't like his singing
voice. Tonight.
I'm very happy that neither of us went to Rat in a Cage. What's that one called?
I don't know that one.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
I don't know that one.
Really? You don't know that
one? The only Smashing Pumpkins song I truly love. I like Tonight Tonight. That's pretty good.
I think you know that song.
I don't know the name.
I'm looking it up right now because it's going to
But they do have, Smashing Pumpkins has the baddest ass song that's ever been on a movie trailer. It's also one of my favorite songs. You know what that song is?
No.
It's, there's two versions of it.
I literally was just listening to Coheed and Cambria last time I was on this phone.
I want to say it was The Beginning is the End is the Beginning.
Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
But it could also be The End is the Beginning is the End. The reason I say that is because both of these songs were on Batman Forever soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was Batman. It was Batman and Robin. Not Batman Forever. Batman and Robin. It's the only good thing that came from Batman and Robin. And they used that song, the slowed down version, in the Watchmen trailer. And it is amazing. It's one of my absolute favorite songs. If you've never listened to it, you owe yourself. Don't look at your phone. Look at me. You listen to the words I'm saying. You go listen to that damn song.
Bullet with Butterfly Wings is the one I was talking about.
Listen to what I'm talking about. It'll change your life.
Okay, cool.
Guaranteed.
I'm going to
congratulations, Allie.
For what?
To our friends over at Up, Up, Down, Down. Our friend Xavier Woods, personal friend. He hung out here at the store, and we played
You
Battleborn.
And Asa did.
We played Battleborn with him.
And you lost.
Technically, that classifies him as a friend. Our friend Xavier Woods. Up, Up, Down, Down reached 2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Which is awesome.
It's amazing. Which I think, 2 million was Triple H, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we will be getting a Triple H video from Up, Up, Down, Down, which is pretty cool. And I'm just happy for Kofi. And
Xavier.
I got Kofi on my brain now. God.
Wow.
As I said Kofi, I looked at you and I thought, I'm just talking about the New Day in general because that
is. And Big E is dancing somewhere.
New Day is all over that channel.
I mean, he sits in the background.
He still has my favorite.
Big E stuff.
He still has my favorite moment when they did the Five Nights at Freddy's and Big E in slow motion jump up and yeah.
Didn't he say like there was a roach or something?
He was trying to stomp it. Yeah. So congratulations to Xavier Woods.
There you go.
That's very, very cool. In other internet wrestling personality news, Asuka just unleashed her own YouTube channel called Kana-chan TV, which, by the way, Kana was what she used to go by before she went to WWE, which I think is pretty neat. I think, is that her real name?
I
feel like I need to know now. She
and it's there. You can watch it.
Her name's Kanako. So, yeah. I've seen pictures. She's posted pictures on her Instagram because I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she's posted pictures of like new monitors and new gaming stuff. And I was like, oh, I thought maybe it was like a personal thing. Like she was just, you know, she's doing a gaming thing. She wanted a gaming setup. But no, it turns out that's her streaming setup. So she has one video, I think. She may have posted more by now.
It's just one.
She has one video up on her YouTube channel of her playing Mario Maker 2 in Japanese, which Dalton did not appreciate because he couldn't understand the levels.
I was so confused. And it's one of those things, like, and I'm not even trying to be like funny, like, I don't understand her, but I literally can't understand her. And it's at a certain point just becomes sounds.
And it's important to note that the way she did the first video was she would say something in English and then she would say something in Japanese. She kept going back and forth.
And she's so quick. She was talking so quick.
Yeah.
And like.
Now you said it sounded a lot like.
No, it sounded just a lot like gibberish. Yeah. Like I couldn't understand it.
Right.
And.
And that's not the Japanese part. You're not making fun of the like, oh, I don't understand her Japanese.
It's just she was going
she
in
talks
and out.
So fast.
Yeah, yeah, it's the whole thing like when you have somebody that's bilingual like that.
Props to her for being that bilingual.
Oh, she is. She's just jumping back and forth.
Well, I mean, in fairness, like it's in other places than America.
They learn more than one language.
Oh, but English is difficult, Allie. Tell them what you told me earlier.
English is the hardest language.
No, the English is kind of the stupidest language.
Yeah, tell them what you told me earlier about.
I don't remember what I told you completely.
About the shit. Remember?
I am so happy that I haven't swore on this episode.
Well, none of us have, but Allie.
I have not.
Nope, we have her on a paywall.
My favorite thing was last week when Asa told Justin Smart, you can't cuss on here. And then proceeded to probably
not
drop seven F-bombs in that show alone. So go check out Kana-chan TV.
Yeah.
If you like your wrestlers playing Mario Maker very excitedly.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Oh yeah, she seemed like she's having a good time, which is good. Like
important also to notice, you can't see her.
Yeah, it's just the game.
It's just the game. So it's the game with her voice. So if you're thinking you're gonna go on there and she's gonna be like one of these Twitch streamers you watch, she's not. At least right now. You can't actually look at her.
No.
So shame on you.
Which like is kind of a bummer because she seems super excitable.
I would like to see her face while she's playing.
Yeah.
Like, because you're used to Asuka being the killer. Like, to see her.
And she is not that.
No, she is goofy as hell.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite Asuka.
So, yeah, good for her. Hopefully that channel does well. I like when people that I like succeed. I also.
I hope to succeed one day myself.
Yeah.
All right.
I've knocked off Impact from the list because I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch it, so.
And I did not either.
So we took.
I did watch.
I have been deleting stuff as we've gone along.
You also haven't been putting in the group chat anything I told you to put in there to remind me. Have you just been putting it in your little file?
Yeah. You only told him to put one thing in, and you just
talked
about it.
Kana.
I thought we mentioned two things though. Well, Scarlet Bordeaux too, but we talked about that.
Yeah, and I had that in my notes. I had it on my notes.
Well, I thought you put it in the group chat like Asa does.
I watched Raw.
All right, so Impact. First off, Impact is a television show that airs weekly.
On Twitch.
It's through Anthem. Moving on to Raw.
Okay. I could say the same for Raw. So I watched.
Oh, they're on Twitch now?
No. I watched about 30 minutes of Raw, and I just was not interested.
I know Bayley turned.
Yeah, so I went back and watched like clips today to just kind of get caught up. Bayley turned heel, which like looked. I think it's what ended the show.
It was.
It looked cool if it's going to be Sasha and Bayley, but the issue of it is like, Alexa and Nikki are kind of heels, but now you have like a definitive like I want to say monster heel tag team, but like you just have two people that are just now downright evil in the tag team division, but one of them has the women's title
right
now. So it's one of those like I'm assuming Sasha's gonna get the title off of Becky, and then that's gonna be a thing for a while. It's gonna be a two woman power trip.
I agree.
Which I mean, if there's two people to put it on for that, those two would be a good one. We haven't ever seen Bayley be heel. We've seen her have an edge, quote unquote, a couple times, but even then it's been very half cocked.
Right.
This could be something exciting to do for the women's division to kind of give them like just evil people. That's not Charlotte.
Plus everybody's been waiting for this trigger to be pulled for how long?
Yeah.
Sasha and Bayley.
Braun Strowman threw a table at AJ Styles' face to open it. It was Seth and Braun with the OC in the ring, and AJ was like kind of stepping up. There was a contract signing, which, by the way, they really need to cut the crap with catchphrases, because real human beings don't talk like that. I've slayed the beast. I'll slay the monster. Well, you're going to get these hands. Well, I'm going to burn it down. And like humans don't talk like that.
Right.
I get that they really need to get these catchphrases over for sure, like merch sales, but if that's what you're giving us, what did you send her?
No. Him and Derek.
What?
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. All right. Hey, guys, we're on an audio podcast and I don't know what's going on.
Oh, welcome to my world when you're all texting each other on your phones constantly. I'll tell you after the show. It's very funny. Let's go back to what you're talking about. I agree with you on the I agree with you on the dialogue thing. One of the biggest things I hate about WWE is they write dialogue as if it's a 12-year-old writing fanfic for his favorite like Fast and the Furious characters. It doesn't sound natural. It's not organic.
And like Seth Rollins can talk. Braun Strowman can talk. Like, yes, Braun Strowman is very much better when he is just making the rawr sound and then yelling, get these hands. But like,
but he can be funny. He can be entertaining.
He can talk, and Seth Rollins is your champion. So you should probably have him not talking catchphrases. Because like Hogan had a catchphrase, but was always, and I'm giving Hogan a lot of credit right now, Hogan was always able to get there naturally.
I think another good
one. As naturally as 80s, like coked up 80s could get, but he always got there naturally.
Well, look at guys like Ultimate Warrior or Randy Savage.
Ultimate Warrior never talked in catchphrases.
They didn't. Savage had, oh yeah. But, you know.
But,
you know,
that's not a catchphrase.
It's not. Warrior had no catchphrase. In fact, he didn't have anything sensical to say ever.
Yeah.
But.
Destrucity.
As someone. Load the rocket fuel. You as a wrestler and as a manager in Stride, and you've done promos.
No good ones, but yes.
That's pretty much all I do is promos. Like that's my job. You are a wrestler. I'm a promo guy. One thing that I've discovered in the year plus I've been doing promos in front of a crowd is that, and you actually helped me with this, was when I first started, you remember I would cut 6-minute promos and try to explain everything because I always try to do more than is required. But it turns out all you really have to do is spout a couple words, throw some catchphrases in, and the crowd's happy.
Yeah, believe that. Like, and Roman does in fairness, whenever Roman is cut, when Roman is on the less is more spectrum,
it's better.
It's so much better because it's small sentence. Believe that. Cut the ribbon.
Big
drop
dog. Banner. Da 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 da.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm gonna burn it.
Rey
down.
Mysterio's entire thing with him being a family man is
that's awkward,
weird, and
if this doesn't end with Dominic turning
murdering him,
is he a wrestler?
Yeah,
I didn't know Dominic.
Do you know
was
who trained him?
Who?
Lance Storm.
That's nice.
Yeah,
full circle.
The one thing we should have learned about Rey Mysterio is he's not a great actor. We knew that in 06 with the whole Eddie Guerrero storyline. Go back and watch him at the Royal Rumble whenever he got the number one or number two or whatever it was. And he was like, Eddie, you got me. Like, and it was so awkward. Cesaro and I think it was Cesaro and Alexander had a really good, it wasn't Alexander. Cesaro had a really good match. Oh, it was Miz. It was Cesaro and Miz had a really good match. I think they're just kind of gearing up for Clash of Champions with Braun having to wrestle a whole lot and Rollins having to wrestle a whole lot. AJ
Which,
Styles.
Well, thank God with a stacked roster like you got Braun and Seth wrestling twice.
My favorite, AJ Styles is my favorite heel right now in WWE because he's been not after SmackDown. But like AJ Styles being like, oh, is that how it works now? We just say we want to do it. Like you said you want to, like you're a tag team champion, Braun. I'm the U.S. champion. If somebody's doing this, it should be me.
Right.
And then he was just like, and you guys are the tag team champions. Good job. The OC, like, Rude and Ziggler aren't even a team.
They're not a real team.
It should be the OC. Like, I like that a whole lot. We can go on to SmackDown now. There wasn't, like, they're still doing the King of the Ring. Can you look up who we have remaining? Because I don't really know. I know it's Corbin.
Well, the Raw King of the Ring contestant is Corbin. SmackDown.
I can't tell you who that is off the top of my head. Is it Joe? No.
Which makes me really sad because King of the Ring used to be one of my absolute favorite tournaments.
It's been very diluted.
It has. I miss when it had its own pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That was the best. Over on SmackDown, it's going to be either Elias or Chad Gable.
Okay. So it'll be Gable.
And then on Raw, we know next week it's going to be... and I'm guessing this is after... Yeah, because Chad Gable wrestled Andrade. And Elias and Ali, but I think that may have been a little while ago. But Elias advanced, Chad Gable beat Andrade, and Chad Gable beat Elias. Or, I'm sorry, Chad Gable and Elias wrestle next week. Samoa Joe, Ricochet, and Baron Corbin have a three-way next week. So my prediction is it's probably going to end up being Elias. No. Oh, this is a hard spot.
You know who I want it to be?
What? So Samoa Joe is a heel, more or less.
It's either going to be Ricochet and Elias or Corbin and Gable.
But isn't what Gable a heel? He's a face now?
Yeah, he went back to 205, or he went to 205 Live and came back.
He's the underdog.
The match I really want to see out of that is Samoa Joe versus Gable.
Yes, but the match you're going to see is Baron Corbin versus Gable. No, Corbin's going to win this.
I think it would be...
No, Corbin's got all...
That's true. It's
they're trying to find ways to make you hate Corbin even more.
So it might be Corbin Elias.
Corbin is the troll wrestler.
Corbin so much. I think he is entertaining. And that is the number one thing you need to be.
Allie, I feel like you're actually upset about this. Are you upset about all this?
That we're still talking?
Huh?
No.
Oh,
she's upset about Baron Corbin.
You don't like Baron Corbin?
She takes it very hard.
Not a big Corbin fan, huh?
She's not.
Don't like big banter Baron?
No. She doesn't like going to restaurants very often. Anyway.
I think Asa likes him so much because I think he worked side by side with him.
Let's talk about NXT UK and
SmackDown.
And then also on SmackDown.
Eric Rowan destroyed Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
Which, good on him. That really puts Rowan in a spot.
His promo was actually really good. I like that one. I didn't want to gloss over that. But, yeah, we can go on to NXT UK.
No, you're absolutely right, because I am curious to see where that goes. Because now it very much seems like Daniel Bryan. And you know what? To be fair, they actually built that really well. Because
they did.
If you remember all the times that Rowan was accused, Bryan would defend him. And Bryan, there was a part where they saw the video, and Bryan kind of looked at him like even he didn't know that Rowan did it. So kudos to WWE for really building this off well. We'll see where it goes in the future. Now, NXT UK. I didn't watch it.
Of course you didn't.
I don't have the network.
You don't?
No, I don't. So I absolutely have no way of seeing it.
Yeah, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster are the new tag champions. They beat the Grizzled Young Veterans. Walter is still the NXT champion. That was a really...
He is ugly.
He's not a good looking man.
He is a very ugly man. He looks like he could be in that new movie, Jojo Monkey. What was it called?
I don't.
He looks like a Nazi.
He's from Germany.
No, that's all Germans.
Him and Tyler Bate had a really good match, but it was also just super brutal. It's the same thing if you watch a Walter match, somebody's dying or near death.
Someone should wear that chest protector that D'Lo Brown used to wear.
Oh my God. D'Lo should have that belt. He was the European champion.
Oh, my God. What a great angle that would be if D'Lo Brown came back, wrestled Walter, and Walter chopped him, and D'Lo had, like, the chest protector.
Broke his hand.
But doesn't D'Lo work for Impact, doesn't he?
I think so.
Oh, rats. Rat.
That would be great.
Rat berries.
We have a new women's champion. Toni Storm lost the belt to...
No.
Yeah, I think her name is Kylie, something like that. I couldn't think of who the woman.
You actually don't know the name of the person? I'm honestly surprised with that.
No. I don't watch NXT UK as much as I should.
I'm gonna look it up real quick because I'm kind of curious now.
It was a really good. The tag match was my favorite match of that. There was a last man standing match between Joe Coffey and Dave Mastiff, and that match was just a big hoss fight. The opening thing, one of them Irish whipped the other so hard into the turnbuckle it exploded. Which was neat. Like, they did the Roman Braun spot where, like, he got pushed in the turnbuckle and it, like, broke.
Jeez.
And that's how the last man standing match started. The ending of that was really good. They were both getting up and Coffey kicked they were on, like, the outside by the announce table. So they were both getting up, and as Coffey got up, he kicked like one of the big rolly bins they have into Mastiff, and it knocked him over.
Kaylee Ray.
I was going to say Kylie Rae, and no, she actually just had to retire.
Yeah, which I was going to mention that I wanted to talk about that more, but the big problem with the Kylie Rae story is no one really knows what's going on.
No, it's apparently just an injury, but we don't know what it is.
We know that she asked for her release from AEW, so she is officially...
free agent, but she's also retired, apparently.
Yeah, so we will love to keep you up to date on that as soon as we know more. Yeah.
It was a good show. Go out of your way to watch it. It's UK wrestling, so if you like UK wrestling, you'll love this. There wasn't really a bad match. Just go out of your... If you're going to watch something from it, go watch the tag match. That was a really, really fun match. Let me think what's next. All Out.
All Out.
That's our main event. How much time I got?
3 or 4 minutes, let's say. Okay. If you want to get out here, it's a good time. I didn't get to watch it. First off, and I know you're going to say it too, but I wanted to mention it. We want to send a big old congratulations to our good friend Marco Stunt, who appeared on the show against SCU along with Junglesaurus and Jungle Boy. Junglesaurus. God. Luchasaurus. My God. Now, please, go on.
It was really good for their second like main pay-per-view outing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. The six man, the one with Marco, a boy and his dinosaur, was really good.
A boy and his dinosaur.
SCU, that was a lot of fun. The tag match with the Dark Order and Best Friends was really good. We actually had the what Orange Cassidy is going to be doing.
I did hear that he kind of went in, and he did. It felt like they treated him a little bit more seriously. Like, obviously, he's still Orange Cassidy.
He
did the hands in the pocket.
Yeah, so the Dark Order was about to destroy the Best Friends, and then the lights go out again, and then Orange Cassidy shows up in the ring, and everybody's out of it, and he has his hands in his pockets. So he looks at the Dark Order, runs at him with his hands in his pockets, and then does a suicide dive with his hands in his pockets onto all of them.
At least he did something, though. He didn't just, like, do a slow motion. Like, they didn't have to pour. They didn't have to play to it.
Not as much. He did a dive.
Yeah. Good on him.
Yeah.
First the squeeze.
Oh, so Sean Spears versus Cody happened. And have you seen that Tully Blanchard is Sean Spears' manager now?
Yes.
Okay, so Cody Rhodes had MJF because Cody Rhodes is MJF's best friend in the world and his mentor. And if you ever ask him, that's what he tells you. So he was in the corner. Tully Blanchard like punched MJF and got up on him. Arn Anderson then came out and spine bustered Sean Spears. Hit a double A spine buster on Sean Spears.
I did read about that. If that's what you meant, that made me smile. Yeah, no, I was.
I was giddy. Ali, he pretty much invented that move.
Yeah.
If you ever see Triple H do his spine buster, mm-hmm. it's basically the Arn Anderson one, but Arn Anderson did, like, he was the master of it.
He did a vicious spine buster.
And it's still vicious.
Yeah.
That match was, like, there wasn't a bad match, really. I don't have the card in front of me.
We have a new champion.
Yep, we have a new champion because that got crowned. Also, I don't know why they decided to be so gosh darn risk-taking in the tag team ladder match between Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks.
I think you just answered your own question.
I did, but like Nick Jackson almost died because he did like a toppling off the ladder, but his bottom foot caught the rope. And this was a couple days after like one of my friends broke their collarbone in a ladder match.
I was actually going to mention that before we got out of here.
So, but that was, again, there. This is one thing I can say for a lot of matches. Like, they were just a lot of fun. Like, the championship match was really, really good. Heyman Page looked like $1 million. Chris Jericho.
I think Nyla Rose became
number one contender.
She's going to wrestle. Oh, gosh. Who won the?
Was it? I don't think it was Rio.
I think, wasn't it Rio?
It might have been Rio.
It was Rio.
It was
so
Rio.
So it's going to be Nyla Rose versus Rio for the women's championship for the first time.
So I'm pretty sure Nyla's going to win that one. It would be really cool if they put it on Rio because Rio's been on a hot streak in AEW. If you're going to watch one match, Pac versus Kenny Omega, that match was brutal.
Also, as we said before, SCU, SoCal Uncensored, versus Jurassic Express. That's Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and our friend Marco Stunt. Legitimate friend. Mm-hmm. I've heard nothing but good things about it, and especially Marco's performance. They didn't like the reviews that I watched didn't dog him and go, why is Marco? They didn't cornet him.
No.
Why is Marco in the ring?
That's the thing.
They said he's a lot of fun, and basically that team is a license to print money.
Yeah, because you have a big character like that. Like in the year of our Lord 2020, which is going to be next year.
Yep.
I could see Luchasaurus holding that AEW championship. A dinosaur.
I could see Marco Stunt holding championship.
But like with the way that Luchasaurus looks and his character and the fact that he is just over.
He's over like Rover.
We could have a dinosaur as a world champion that like.
We've already had a dinosaur as champion.
Ric Flair doesn't count.
I was going to say Vern Gagne, but.
Oh, why?
Deep cut.
Not even worth it.
Because he can't defend himself.
He is dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. So, go out of your way to watch Owl Out. I don't know if it's still $50 for the replay.
Jeez.
I paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, support wrestling.
Yeah. Pretty good for a t-shirt company. That's what I That's been the general consensus.
Also, have they announced their next show?
They start their tapings. I think the next show is going to be Full Gear.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's Full Gear, and they announced a match on there already, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I just don't.
But our internet is being so slow here, I can't load anything.
But we'll have
It was Kenny Omega versus John Moxley.
It has been announced for Full Gear already. That's going to be stupid. Yeah. It was supposed to be stupid, and then Pac showed up, and it was still stupid.
Everything is stupid. And now our battery's running out.
So
that's the end of the show.
Wait, did it die right now?
No. But it's about to. So let's hurry it up.
Follow us on Facebook. Go to our Patreon. $1 gets you all of the pre-shows. If you see us on a podcast app, give us the old ace. Give them the old 5 stars.
It's pretty good.
If it's 10, don't give us 5. Give us 10.
Yeah.
Pretty much fill up all of the stars to be not blank.
Unless it's on a system of the more stars, the worse it is.
Yeah, if it's on the golf game.
So if it's a star, if it's a star thing, give us 5 stars. Unless 5 stars is bad, then give us 1 star. Depending on the star rating, you're gonna give us between 1 and 5 stars. But never do 3 because that means we're just okay.
Yeah, and we're more than okay.
We're more than okay most of the time.
Yeah.
Next week, Ace of Gray will be back.
He might not be on Nerd Up.
And I'll be gone. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm just not gonna be here.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. We're gonna get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Back next week with an all new pro wrestling unscripted.
Don't you have Thursday tomorrow?
Yeah. So I forgot. So tomorrow we got Podzilla After Dark. Now here's the thing, kids. Here's the thing. We may have a special guest tomorrow. He's not going to be on the show, but our very own Tanner Calvert. And I've been told that it's booked. It's good to go. Now, we were also told the same thing about Karen Ashley, and she unfortunately had to reschedule. We will have her on later. But tomorrow on After Dark, we will be having an interview one-on-one, Tanner Calvert, with Kevin Farley, which is Chris Farley's brother. You've probably seen him in movies. He's got a stand-up special he's doing here at Cape at a local comedy club over the weekend. So tomorrow we should have Kevin Farley on the show. That should be a lot of fun. Or we won't. I hate to broadcast it. I hate to advertise it if it doesn't happen, but I'm pretty excited if it does. So we'll see what happens. That's it for us tonight. See you tomorrow on Podzilla After Dark. Until then, take care of yourselves. Don't drink soda. I made that video. Later.